We go through books of the Bible, and I've been in 1 John for a few weeks. Let me turn this thing off. There we go. We go through books of the Bible, and you know, everybody kind of follows along the track that we're on. And we're in 1 John, and 1 John, he's trying to help people that are in Christ stay in Christ. And there are people that have left the true church, and they are not walking in the light, not walking in the truth. And he even goes as far as to say they've joined the Antichrist, which means they're making false teaching about who Christ is. And in the same time, he's trying to encourage those who are walking right to maintain their faith, to maintain their walk with God. And so, for us, he says that we're supposed to walk in the light. We're supposed to take sin seriously. We're supposed to keep the word in our heart. We're supposed to love the body, love the true Christians. And we're not supposed to love the world. And we're supposed to be wary of bad teaching. He's told us that we have fellowship with God, and that fellowship is really the point of all of this. What difference does it make to be a Christian? What difference does it make to have fellowship with God? What's the purpose of the work of Christ in our life? And that's what we're going to deal with in John, 1 John 3 today, the first section of that. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Kind of a secular view in the world that tells us everybody belongs to God. We're all God's children. And that's not true. I don't want to bump any bubbles here, but that's not true. Not everybody is a child of God. It is an act of God's love that makes us children of God. It is an act of God's power through Jesus Christ that makes us children of God. And so the idea of saying that everybody is a child of God is not true. It's a very special term, and it's something that is gained by God's grace, God's power in our lives. It's a gift from God. And if we are in that group of people that are the children of God, we want to cling to that. And that really should be a huge focus of our life and our being, that we want to be God's children. When God created the heavens and the earth and he put Adam down here, what he was doing was creating children. He wanted the kingdom of heaven, a whole world, to be inhabited by his children, and that he would be there with them. In a temple world, we call that heaven. And what happened, of course, we know that Adam fell, and because of that, sin has ruled this world. We talked about that a few weeks ago, how dark the world is. So the world doesn't see what God is doing. The world doesn't see what God is doing in our lives. They think we're kind of ridiculous for gathering together and singing songs and praising God. They aren't even sure if God exists, and they don't even see the point of some of the things we do as far as understanding and reading and thinking about the Word of God and letting the Word of God guide our steps and guide our life. The world doesn't recognize the work of God. The description of it in John, in the Gospel, is the world is a dark place that doesn't know God, hates Jesus Christ, hates his disciples. It's a very dim world. And we can see that in our culture. Our culture is becoming more and more dark in the sense of people being ignorant of God, ignorant of God's sense of morality. And I'm afraid that that's even creeping into the church, that the church is not holding up the standards that we should be holding up, that we should be different. We should be different because of what God is doing in us. The world can't tell us what to be and what to do, because they don't understand who God is. They don't understand what God's doing in our life. He says they don't know him. So how can they know what he's doing? How can they know what he wants from you and me? How can they know any of that? He says, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. This is we call this already not yet. There's a sense of eschatology. There's a sense of what God's doing. Right now, I know that the Spirit of God is in me. Right now, I know that the Word of God is truth. Right now, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. There's so many things I know. But do you know what I don't know? I don't know what it will be like to live in a glorified body. I don't know what it will be like to be in the very presence of Almighty God. I don't know what it will be like to walk those streets that are in perfection, where all is joy, all is love, all is peace, all is grace. I haven't seen that yet. And so John says that. He says, you know, we know that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him. We're going to be like Jesus. Anybody ever think of yourself this way? That you are a child or a son of God, or a daughter of God, if you want to say it that way. Won't matter in heaven. There are no sons, no daughters. But do you ever think of yourself that way? I am a son of God. That is the whole purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not there to make me feel better. It's not there to make me rich. It's not there to make me, be able to deal with my problems. It's there for me to become a child of the living God, to become his person forever. That's what the gospel is about. We teach this gospel all the time. I just wanted to kind of step into that for just a minute, especially since we're going to be teaching this to the kids. We always share the gospel using the wordless colors, the wordless book colors: black for sin, red for the blood of Christ, white for righteousness, green for growth, and gold for the kingdom of God. He says, this is how he talked about Jesus in the first chapter of John. He says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus' whole purpose in coming and being our Savior is to give us the authority, the power to become children of God. And this process that we look at here, it starts with faith on our part, right? In other words, as God calls us and draws us, we believe in Jesus. I believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that his blood has power to cleanse me of all sin, that I can stand before Almighty God, and with all of my crimes and all my bad thoughts and all that I've been in life, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God says, I am innocent, I am pure, I am made righteous through the blood of Christ. I believe that. I believe that when Jesus Christ died, it meant that I died. But I also believe that when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and went to stand and be with the Father forever, that I too rise from the dead to a new kind of life. We live a new kind of life. That's where, so you have righteousness, which is the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. And then you have growth, the green part. It says, I become a new creature in Christ. That's the process that God is leading us through. That's the process that it takes to become a child of God, to be his child, to be his son, to be his daughter. That's what Jesus died for. That's why God sent him into this darkened world. This world is going to be destroyed because of all the sin and lies and garbage that's here. But those who belong to God, those who call upon the name of Jesus, those who believe in him, they get to go on forever into that glorious kingdom of heaven. Children of God. And everyone, now we're back in 1 John. Chapter 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. One of the things that's disappearing from the church in our culture is a sense of difference in how we think and how we live, what we hold is true, the values that we hold. And we are supposed to be starkly different from the world. We are supposed to be absolute opposite of the world. Too much of the church is trying to embrace the world's values, to embrace their love of certain sins, and put them up there and just say, oh, this is just fine. Where for thousands of years, the people have known these sins are sins, and the scripture calls them sins, but we want to baptize it and bring it in and call it good. That's one of the worst things that God's people can do, when we start calling evil good, when we start calling what is wrong right, when we start flipping over to the worldly view of things and we miss what God created us to be. He says every person that has the hope of being God's child, every person that has the hope of salvation, every person who has Jesus Christ as their Savior, every person purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he may take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues in sin has either seen him or known him. Our relationship to sin, our relationship to righteousness, our relationship to the world values tells us what we are. What's the difference? What's the difference between me and the people in the media? What's the difference between me and the people on the street? What's the difference between me living in Christ and those living in darkness, without God, without his word, without his spirit? There should be a difference, right? And so what he's talking about here is, again, you know, how do we know what sin is? How do we know what evil is? God gave us a record for, you know, 1,500 years of Old Testament law and showing the character, and then through Jesus Christ perfected that character in an image of the Word of God. The Word teaches us and shows us what qualities God is looking for in us. He's showing us the difference between us and him. He's showing us the difference between us and the world. And if we don't acknowledge that, if we don't embrace that, and we become like the world, we're not fooling God. We're only fooling ourselves. And that's what John's telling. John's warning these guys. See, he's got a group of people that are holding on to the truth. He's got a group of people that are staying in Christ. And he's got a group of people that have left. And they're trying to bring these people down. They're trying to trick them. They're trying to deceive them. He's called them equal to Antichrist just in the last few sentences before this text. He's talked about them as living in darkness and not taking sin seriously and not holding to the word. We want to be different because we want to be what God called us to be. We want to be his children. I want to live with God forever. And that means the standards that God has set before us for all these thousand years, we need to uphold those, maintain them. We can't allow a culture around us to define what it means to be Christian. Can't do that. If we do that, we start moving outside the lines of what it means to be Christian. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Again, he's worried that people are being led astray by that group that left. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You see this? He says, anyone who does what's right. Now, there's a real good sentence. Somebody showed me that verse one time, trying to tell me that a particular billionaire was good because he did think. In other words, he was right. Even though he denies Jesus Christ, he denies the existence of God, this billionaire is good, because he does good deeds. And that's not it. It's not wearing a ribbon. It's not walking a walk, you know, for cancer. It's not those things that the world calls good. That's not the standard that God has set for us. God has set a very deep standard of what it means to be right. It's in the scripture. It's in the word. We don't let the world, again, define what it means to be good. We don't let the world define what it means to be righteous. We let God tell us what it means to be good, what it means to be righteous, what it means to be like him. Remember, he said we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be like Jesus. That doesn't start when we get to heaven. It should be a process going on in us right now. We should be living in that green area where we're being sanctified, challenged, changed, worked upon our entire life until, as God works, we're closer and closer and closer to him so that when we are glorified, it won't be like, oh, never heard of this before, never seen this before. Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil's work. Sin holds people in bondage. It destroys lives. It destroys families. It destroys communities. It destroys nations, and it will destroy the world. And Jesus came not to save this world, but to save us, to get us out of it, to bring us to him, to the Father. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. John uses this terminology, to be born again, to be born from above, to be born of God. When Jesus Christ is our Savior and the Spirit of God is in our heart and the Word of God becomes our guide, we are born of God. I've been born of God for 40 years. I've walked with the Lord, and one of the things I know, it doesn't go away. I'm so glad it doesn't go away. It's not so much dependent upon me, but it's the power of God in us. It's the power of his work that goes on in us and makes us better and better as we continue on. It's the seed of God inside of us that keeps us going. And that means we can't live like other people live. We can't think. We can't watch what other people watch. We can't engage our minds in games that some of them play. We can't do that because God is in us, teaching us. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. That's the way John talks. You're either in darkness or you're in light. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. What difference does it make that Jesus Christ is my Savior? Do you know how many people living out there are the child of the devil and they have no idea? They think the devil has to do murderous evil in order to be the devil. All he has to do is not acknowledge God, not acknowledge his word, not acknowledge his son, not acknowledge the sacrifice and the gift of life offered through Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. Who are we? What difference has it made that Jesus Christ is in our life? What difference has it made that Jesus Christ, we call him Savior? What difference does it make that we call upon the name of the living God? Anyone who does not do right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. That's next week. We'll talk about the love of the brother. But I want you to think about this. When we talk to these kids this week, some of us are going to be with the kids and going to talk to them about that gospel, that message. The goal of the message is the kingdom of heaven. The goal that Jesus Christ has set before us is that we live our lives in God's righteousness as a gift. We grow and sanctify. We keep growing throughout our life. But the end of the story is we become the children of God and we live with him in beauty and paradise forever and ever. Ever. It really makes a difference. Paul says in Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation working in my life. And I praise God for it and I thank him for it and I want to stay in it and I don't want to let anything come in and interfere with it. Amen.